Good evening, everyone, or morning to those on the other side of the world. Listen via the net. You know, a lot are doing via replay also. Kurt Mortensen here. Today's November 7th, 2012. And this is our weekly call where we get in just to teach you a couple of tools, take some questions, teach you how to play, give you a little homework, and make it happen. Everything you want is on the other side of persuasion, and we need to persuade. It's too late to learn. I say that every time, but you need to internalize it. All right. Well, a few questions to start off with. We'll address those later. We're kind of in a law of persuasion series here. And let's talk about a law that's built into human nature, human psyche, the law of obligation. Basically, how to get anyone to do a favor for you. How can you use this in the right way? Can you use it the wrong way? Absolutely. Any law can be used the right way or the wrong way. But we'll tell you how powerful this is. Here's an example. So every month, my office, this gentleman would walk in unsolicited. And I appreciate that. I know what it takes to be able to do that. And I love a good persuader. Well, he was selling office supplies and things I can get anywhere. And I appreciate his tenacity to get our business. You know, but we were under contract with another company, and he would graciously leave and leave us a dozen cookies. I love cookies. Afternoon, he'd leave in warm cookies. They were, he would come by every month, take our rejection, and leave us some cookies. We used to start calling him the Cookie Man, and we would see him coming in before he was even there. And, well, long story short, months had passed, our contract expired, and he eventually bought supplies from the Cookie Man. So the key to obligation is to know that the results might not be instant, but it puts you higher on the list to give a presentation, to be considered for future business. That's the power of obligation. And the interesting thing is obligation is embedded in every culture. It's in human psyche. It's just a natural part of us. You can go to deep, dark Africa or the Amazon, anywhere, and you can find every culture, there's something about. Someone does something for you, you have to do something back. Even if someone says, gives you a compliment, you look great in that dress, there's an urge to compliment back. So when he tells you a secret, you have an urge to tell a secret back. There's just something about that. Now, there's also a relation between the giver and the recipient. For some reason, and age, if they're teenagers and you give them everything, for some reason they don't feel like they reciprocate, but we're going to set that aside. For most people, it's a very, very powerful law. It's also known as reciprocity. Bottom line, when others do something for us, we feel a strong need or even a rush to return the favor. And when we return the favor, it rids us of the obligation created by the first good deed. That's the interesting thing here. Now, if so, you do something for someone and you never let them return the favor, it's actually going to have the opposite effect. They might not even like you as much because they need to get rid of that. Oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. That's what you say, but it needs to be repaid, and they like you better for it. So your goal is, how do you create an obligation in the mind of the other person? Be genuine, be altruistic. Think about the timing. This is almost like a bank account. If you need to persuade someone in the long run, maybe it's a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. If you do something the moment before you need to persuade them, it might not have the right effect. You want to do this a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. So what can you do? Well, it could be a gift, obviously. Time, favor, compliment. If you look at specialty advertising, it's a billion-dollar industry when you give away mugs or screwdrivers or pens or something with your name on it. That's a reciprocity thing. Banks do that. They have pens. You see people giving things away all the time, and that's part of it. Again, no guarantee they're going to do business with you, but it keeps you on the top of the list. If you're doing real estate, just giving someone a CD, the 10 mistakes to avoid. Doesn't guarantee to do business with you, but it puts you higher on the list. They listen to it, gives you credibility. That's the power of reciprocity. We all have this mental scorecard in our brain. We keep track of what people have done for us. We want to repay the debt. That's a powerful part of reciprocity, obligation. Now, here's some examples. Negotiating a car deal, you're at a standstill. The salesperson says, you know what, I'm thirsty. Would you like a drink? Let me get you a soda. And you say, sure. They give you a 50-cent soda. You feel like buying a $20,000 car. It's not always equal as far as the gift exchange. You have the disabled American veterans. They'd send out a letter asking for donations. usually get about an 18% response. But then they put an unsolicited gift, address labels in there, and the success rate nearly doubled to 35% for a gift with those little address labels. That's why they do that. So physicians, they would send them a survey, and half of them said, they put a $20 check right in there. Thank you for doing it ahead of time. And the other one said, we'll send you a $20 check after it's completed. And there was a 12% difference between those two as far as response rate. When they gave the money ahead of time, it actually increased response rate. And very few physicians actually cast a check without doing the survey. College professor takes the white pages out during Christmas, the holidays. Starts addressing Christmas cards from the white pages. What happens? They get Christmas cards, more Christmas cards. Teaching a seminar, someone raised my hand. Hey, I know that person. That was 20 years ago, and they're still getting Christmas cards from that. All right? You know, people buy extra gifts during the holidays just in case. I remember moving into a new neighborhood, and my wife was just handing out a gift, get to know the neighbors. Couldn't have been worth more than $5, $10. And then here's a knock on the door 10 minutes later. Oh, I forgot to give you your gift. And it was a $50 box of truffles. That's important. It's not always an equal exchange, but people really need to get rid of that reciprocity, that obligation that they feel. You see this at grocery stores or even Costco. The old free samples, right? Does that work? Why do free samples? Well, I know a lot of people have done it so many times that they can take it out. They can take the sample, don't make eye contact, and walk off. But for most people, they try the sample. They might listen a little longer. They might, taste it, get them involved. It's part of involvement too. As we talked about the law of involvement, that it might be something to give them. And we see this with like audio video stores, furniture stores, giving out hot dogs, pizza, water, soft drinks, anything to create reciprocity, anything to get you in the store. Let's talk about free samples. And it's been used a lot, but it's still successful. Here are the numbers. When you ask people to take a sample, 70% will take the sample. You can't persuade 100% of the people. I can hand out $100 bills in New York City, and I couldn't persuade everyone to take one. It's just how people are. So even though it's free, even though it looks tasty, only 70% will take it. They don't want to stop. They don't want to be obligated. They don't want to be in a rush. Whatever it is, we don't worry about that 30%. Now, of that 70% that have taken a sample, 37% of those will purchase the product. That's pretty good. So it's over a third will purchase the product just by offering a sample. That's, again, part of the law of involvement. Get them involved. Taste it, touch it, feel it, feel a little reciprocity. Now, if it's nasty and they throw up all over the place, yeah, that's not going to help you out. But assuming you've got a good product, that's one way to do it, is offer a free sample, get people involved. Now, here's one. It's very important to understand. It's got a long name. It's called reciprocal concessions. We see this a lot in negotiation. Bottom line is this. When someone persuades you to change your mind, they will be more inclined to change their mind. Did you hear about it? When someone persuades you to change your mind, they're more open and more inclined to change their mind. What does that mean? Simple. If you go into a negotiation where you got all your cards tight and you've got all the right answers, they're going to resist. But if you have all your concessions separate, they say, you know what, that's a good point. That's a great idea. I can see what you're saying now. Yeah, I was wrong. Or yeah, we need to change this. I can see you do that. Let's go ahead and make that adjustment. Hey, now they're more open to change their mind. Even with teenagers, yeah, you've got a good point there. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I apologize for that. They'll be more easily persuaded down the line. They'll be more open to accept the consequence you're going to give them. That's human nature. So let them persuade you on a few points, even if it's a couple days earlier. Let them do that. They'll be more easy to persuade down the line. That's part of reciprocity and known as reciprocal concessions. Because you look at a negotiation, we know that when someone makes a concession during an influence attempt or negotiation process, you feel obliged to give them a concession. That's why concession for concessions. And the more concessions you make during negotiations, in direct correlation to the number of concessions they'll make. So bottom line, it's okay to make concessions. You should. Now here's what's interesting. When they ask for a concession, don't give up right away. take time to think about it. I don't know. Let me crunch the numbers. Let me take a look at it. Let me send an email real fast. Because if you give it too easily, it could be interpreted as a sign of weakness. It's true with any negotiation. If you accept an offer too fast, a concession too fast, like, wait a minute. We're still working for it. We're still going to let them persuade us. But it's not going to be something that is instant. So we can do a lot of things here. What can you do? What do you have that create reciprocity? Is a sample, free product, planning kit, catalog, exclusive information or secret information? Is an audio, video, maybe personal consult, free estimate, inspection, lunch, dinner, travel bonus, concessions we talked about, favors, compliments, personal attention? Yeah, let them tell you about their weekend. Give them a little time. Do them a favor. Help them out with a project. Food, treats, entertainment, which could be sports, movies, Broadway shows, golf, whatever. It could be part different things that you can give away. Now, let's talk about those examples. It could be taking someone out to dinner or to play golf. You see free tire rotation. You see Men's Warehouse they'll press your suit for free. One that annoys us, someone will come to your car window and start washing it. We won't let them do it because we don't want to feel obligated. But that's an example of this. Free car washes. You see high school doing this. It's free, but they'll ask for a donation. That actually makes more money doing a free car wash than doing a paid car wash. You'll see a carpet cleaner offering clean a spot on your carpet for free. Maybe you could volunteer to help with a meeting. You can take another person out to lunch. Any of those will work. But let's talk kind of a little formula here, how to kind of think that through. So if you're going to give away something, make sure it's something valuable to them. You know, your time. That's just, you ask yourself, is it useful to them? Do they need it, want it? Will they enjoy it? Does it have a high perceived value? Does it look like you got it out of your garage or out of a trash can? If it's something that has dust all over, you haven't used it in 10 years, obviously it's out of date, out of style. It's not going to really do it. Something that's valuable. Perceived value. That's important. Is it targeted to them? If you're going to give away something, does your gift reach a demographic? Does it solve a problem? Does it give you credibility? Does it prove your worth? You know, if you give an audio or a report or a free assessment or help them out with a small problem, that would be it. And does it have your contact information? We talked about specialty advertising. Will it always remind you of them and keep you on top of their list? If it's a CD, is your name and number on it? If it's a mug or a screwdriver or anything, is your name on it? Will that remind you of them? Now, when you give away something, ask yourself about the timing. Because reciprocity does diminish over time. Can you keep on giving? Do you need to give them a new calendar every year, a new assessment every year? The sooner you can pre-give, the better. If you know there's a meeting coming up in a couple of weeks that you need somebody's help, you probably want to do it a couple weeks ahead of time instead of the day of or the hour before. Can you make multiple deposits in their obligation bank account? You keep doing that. So you think about, is it valuable? Is it targeted? All those things come into play. Now, I know that it can be perceived as manipulation, but if you're going to do it, it has to be perceived as an unselfish act. It has to be, you're not expecting them to do business with you. You're just doing it without any expectations. They'll create their own expectations. You should not create those expectations. Because some people are so skeptical now, they won't even take a gift. They won't even let you buy them a drink because they know there's some type of expectation there. So, and you've had people that will give you things. You know they're going to ask something back, and that's not what we're talking about here. Because if your gifts are perceived as setups, people will know what's going on, and it backfires. They won't take the gifts. Because when this pre-giving is perceived as a bribe or pressure tactic, it will decrease compliance. Must be perceived as an unselfish act. It's important to understand with reciprocity and obligation. Any questions out there over the phone, via the net, we'll take them all. Remember, you can send those at whypersuasion.com. A couple here that we'll address. Okay, I'm just reading it here. we kind of address it. When does reciprocity turn into manipulation? Can it be your intent? Is it a win-win situation? Is it an unselfish act? And history is part of that too. If you've every time you give something, you expect something in return, it will backfire on you. Another question about specialty advertising: what is the best thing to give out? Well, that's going to depend on your demographic. Is it valuable to them? Those little screwdrivers with names on it, those are pretty cool. Probably better for a mechanic or somebody that uses their hands more than to a retirement community. Mm-hmm. Coffee mug, is it something they're going to use? You know, that would depend. There's a T-shirt, a cap. Those are all things that you'll have to figure out. I mean, especially advertising, you can put your name on everything. You put your name on Post-its. You can put your name on about anything. And so you just kind of figure out, okay, is it valuable to them? Is it targeted to them? But you can put your contact information on there. That's part of it. Next question is, once you give a gift, when should you follow up? That's going to depend on the situation. It does diminish over time. Probably within the next, if it's a CD, for example, probably within a week or two. If it's somebody you know that they're not interested now, but you then give them something, get permission to call them in a couple months. Always want to get permission. Well, I know we're not a good fit right now. Can I give you a call in 6 months? That would be set up. So there's not a set time there. Obviously, the sooner the better. Obviously, if there's a need or a want there, to be able to follow them up. Kirk, can you give us an entrepreneurial example? Sure. Let me give you a kind of a case study that I was working with. It's a coffee shop, a juice bar, you know, and it was local. And they want to get customers to linger a lot longer, to consume more beverages, obviously. Their morning time was great, coffees, juices. But as it got later in the afternoon, business decreased. So they want the afternoon business to create more of a profit. They wanted to attract more people, especially entrepreneurs hanging out, having meetings. So they thought about putting in Wi-Fi and charging them, maybe a photocopy, maybe even a conference room to get more traffic. So I guess with the law of obligation, you know, how would you increase business? Because, wait a minute, Wi-Fi is costing money, photocopier's business room. That was kind of a local thing. Now, the key thing with it is what we did with them is was free. They wanted to, we said, Wi-Fi, that's a no-brainer. You need to do that. And they wanted to charge. Like, no, give them away for free. And, of course, people, wait a minute, free costs us. What if people abuse it? You know, a few people might abuse it, but that's their expectation. There's a reciprocity thing that... So they finally gave out free Wi-Fi, and their business traffic increased. They were making more money in what they did best as far as beverages were concerned, and it increased product sales and income. Now, few people did take advantage of it and bought nothing, but it doesn't matter. It increased profits. And during this time, this afternoon time, the business people they would see, they give out free samples and goodies, again, reciprocity, involvement, and it helped dramatically with their long-term sales and profitability. So sometimes free... And many times free will equal profit. Absolutely. Any more questions over the phone, via the net? A lot of you on replay. If you're doing replay, of course, you're at whypersuasion.com where the replay will be posted. It takes about 24 hours to post. Questions are there, too. If for some reason I get stuck on a plane, that type of information will be there. We'll put on a recording if we need to. That happens. Question about, Kurt, you said this is embedded in every culture. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Well, every culture, every person, it's just built into us. I talk about, you know, going to maybe a tribe in the Amazon to where it's just built in. If people keep giving you things, you never give it back. You're labeled in a certain way, and they don't want to be around you. Just people expect that. It is part of our programming and our DNA to want that. Kurt, what's the difference between reciprocity and obligation? Nothing. They're the same, just two different terms that you'll hear. They are interchangeable. There's no real difference between the two. Kurt, can you reiterate on the mentioned reciprocity bank account? Just keep giving. You know, build it up over time. You're giving of your time, a gift, a favor, a compliment, any of those. But again, let them give back too. You don't want to have $20,000 in your reciprocity bank account and they only have 10. If you don't let them repay you, it'll have the opposite effect. In fact, when you let them repay you, they like you more. They feel more connected to you. So if you just keep banter back and forth, give, 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 give. You're both giving. The relationship's going to be better. There's going to be more reciprocity. That's how it's set up. Well, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Maybe you can say that, but if you keep giving and they never, if you take them out to lunch every week and you ever let them to take you out to lunch, it's going to backfire unless you're the boss, the CEO, and it's part of business, and they expect you to pay that something else because they probably know you're not paying for it. It's part of your expense account. That there's less of a reciprocity thing there. Good questions. Any other questions? Sandra, that takes us off course a little bit. I'll send you the answer via email on that one. And that's also true with Frank. I'll just send you the email with the answer on that. All right. That is the law of obligation. Apply it this week. What I want you to do is apply reciprocal concessions. Just start letting people persuade you a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Just apply that in every kind of conversation. Let them convince you about something, something minor, and you'll notice that they'll be more open for persuasion down the road. With that, everyone, have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week at the same time. Good night, everyone.